I think we're both going to find out just how dumb technology has made us over the last 5 or 10 years.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
All right, welcome into the 2019 Talk Sports Spelling Bee. John, you'll go first. Bouquet.
Can I have a definition, please?
A bunch of flowers.
Bouquette.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Cody, your word is chameleon. Definition is a lizard that
can... I know what a chameleon is.
...as protection, change color.
C-H-A-M-E-L-I-O-N.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Airing every day from noon to 3.
Cody, your word is geisha.
You mean like the...
a Japanese like woman trained as a singer or dancer. Geisha.
G-E-S-H-A.
I lost it. Hold on. Oh, that's incorrect.
On 1340 WKGN.
John, your word is hippopotamus.
H-I-P-P-O-P-O-T-A-M-U-S.
Hippopotamus. Nailed it.
I am the smartest man alive! Hour 2 kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome, my friend.
It is World Emoji Day. Always a big news story here on Talk Sports. You remember last year, World Emoji Days, we power ranked our favorites.
Okay.
Apple has revealed its new 2019 emojis for today. Would you like to know what some of them are?
I saw that one of them is a blind person. Is that correct? Something about blonde or no? No? Okay, maybe not.
Yeah, it is, apparently.
I saw someone saying that it's pretty fitting that it happens right after the SEC announced that their officiating account is live on Twitter. Bad for them.
Also, if you're, like, how do you use that emoji if you... Anyway, there's also a banjo.
Okay.
There are now multiple race... couples. So apparently this wasn't a thing before, but like two people together, you can pick an emoji with two people, and one guy can be black and the other guy can be white, which has not been a thing before. So you have multiracial pairs of people. There is an orangutan. There's a sloth. There's like a yawning emoji, you know, the yellow ones.
Boring.
With like a hand over the... Yeah, that's a good one. Stick of butter. There's also a seeing eye dog, which goes with the blind one. There's a plate of what appears to be... Is that meatballs? No, I think it's that... What is that Mediterranean stuff? What am I thinking of? Ben, you know what I'm thinking of? What is that food I'm thinking of? Is it like Greek or Mediterranean or falafel? It's not falafel.
Falafel doesn't seem like a meat thing.
It's got like a rice. It's kind of crunchy.
Sort of like a waffle? Am I making it?
No.
Am I an idiot? No.
Maybe it's not falafel. I think maybe it is. Maybe it's kind of crunchy. It's got like a rice kind of...
Yeah, falafel looks like bread. Deep fried ball or flat donut.
Ooh, deep fried ball? That is what I'm thinking of.
It says a falafel is a deep fried ball or flat or a flat donut shaped patty made from ground chickpeas, fava beans, or both.
Yes, yes.
Herbs, spices, onions, relatives are commonly added to the dough.
Yes. Well, they have a pile of that now. There's an ice cube, a skunk, an onion, a hearing aid, a waffle. The sloth is pretty cool. There's actually a lot of new emojis for accessibility. There's a guy in a wheelchair. There's a prosthetic leg. There's a girl in a wheelchair. There's a guy pointing to his ear, which I guess means that he can't hear. There's a prosthetic arm.
All I keep thinking about is how these things are going to get used sexually.
Yeah, all of these things.
When the guy or the guy
like the
takes
guy
the wheelchair to the girl or...
Like the guy pointing to
girlfriend asks her girls how it went the night before, and she just replies back with a wheelchair.
Or she's got the picture of her with the cane.
Yeah, like, I gotta just... all I think about when these emojis is how people are going to use them sexually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which damn eggplant has been forever hijacked.
Yeah, the eggplant will never be the same. Anyways, these should all be out by iOS 13.1 should be out by October. So the emojis are coming this fall, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
do we really need a countdown for when the new emojis hit?
I mean, it's a big deal to me. I don't know. Maybe everyone else doesn't care. The Steelers running back James Conner says a doctor told him he had only 1 week to live if his cancer had gone undiagnosed. James Conner beat cancer in 2016 before getting drafted by the Steelers the next year. Apparently, at one point, they told him he only had a week to live if he had not, if it did not go untreated, if they didn't find it. Doc said he was down to 1 week. James Conner's had a real come up story.
Yeah, no, I mean, to go from dying in a week to NFL starting running back, that's quite the come up.
Yeah, to beat it and then you know, take over for Le'Veon Bell. We had a winner last night at the World Series of Poker. Wow. It was the favorite, Hassan Ensan. He claimed the $10 million prize with his first main event victory. The German contender dominated a near historic field to earn his first main event bracelet. I'd say winning just one of them would be good enough for me.
The bracelet would just be good enough for you? Is that what you said?
Well, just winning the $10 million.
Oh, okay.
Once.
You don't need the bracelet?
Yeah. No, I don't care about the bracelet.
Bracelet's cool, but yeah, the $10 million seems a lot cooler, right?
Yeah. I wonder how, I mean, I guess it's pretty challenging to win that. There were like 8,600 players. An Atlantic League coach has been ejected for arguing over the automated strike zone just one inning into the robot umpire era. This is a baseball story. Frank Viola will go down as the first victim of the automated strike zone in the Atlantic League.
Frank Viola.
They recently installed the robot umpires as part of a 3-year agreement with the MLB. Is that baseball music playing now? Oh, good job, man. It's very, very timely.
Frank Viola was a manager. He played couple of years. How many years did he play in the Major League Baseball? I played for a while.
He was the...
Played 15 years in Major League Baseball, and then he was like coaching a high school team whenever I was in high school.
Can you tell me which year Frank Viola won the 19... Can you tell me which year Frank Viola won the Cy Young Award?
I knew it would be 1900, somewhere in the 1900s.
I almost really said that.
Let's see... 19. He played for what? Almost 10, 15 years. He's managing now. Was managing a high school team. 1988. 89?
You have that story pulled up?
No, I'm just guessing. I mean, he debuted in the early 80s, and usually pitchers don't hit their prime until 7-8 years in, so.
It was actually 85.
85? Oh. My logic was all messed up.
It was actually 88.
Oh.
You got it.
Nice. Nailed it.
You nailed it.
Man, I know so much about baseball.
Yeah, apparently.
But anyways, he was managing a high school team. One of my friends hit a really long home run and then grabbed his crotch as he was like coming out of the box.
He was Baker Mayfield before Baker
Mayfield. And then Frank Viola wanted to kill him, and like they almost fought in the parking lot afterwards. That's my Frank Viola story.
Nice.
He was really mad that my friend had grabbed his crotch after really hitting like a 450-foot home run.
Old Frank.
Just drilled it, just crushed one. Frank was ready to go. 1988, Cy Young, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, job by me.
Great pitcher. The Cardinals have
traded right after that, if my memory serves me correctly. I did a lot of Frank Viola research after that story because I thought it was cool that they got into a fight with the Cy Young
with winner. A baseball player?
With a Cy Young winner, not only just some bum.
That is pretty cool.
to the Mets for a little bit.
The Cardinals have released Desmond Harrison after a warrant was issued for his arrest on felony charges of assault in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. He like stepped on a woman's neck, right? Isn't that how that story goes? Like he got into a dispute and I believe held her down
and
had his foot on her neck.
An assault on a person by strangulation and assault on a female by a male. So yeah, it doesn't go into detail in the story, but that would probably check out with the strangulation.
So they just went ahead and cut him?
Yeah. Yeah, they released him.
That seems like the right move there.
Probably so. You've seen the old person filter going around, I'm sure. Everyone is changing their faces to look older.
I've been very annoyed every time I've seen it.
Have you tried it?
No.
I haven't either. Which I think keeps us in the cool, the cool table.
We're way too cool for the face filter app.
Cam, have you tried it?
Cam Santos.
Did it. Ben didn't try it either. We'll sit at the cool kids table at lunch.
Cam just sent it as like a woman or something and be like, this is us in 40 years type of thing. Can you wake up to this face every day or something like that? You dog, you. You think anybody was sending nudes with the old filter on?
That'd be funny. I hope so. I hope they were. I'm sure some people were. Yeah, absolutely. If I had a girlfriend, I would totally do that. I kind of wish I had a girlfriend. That's funny. I don't have anybody to send nudes to.
Send them to Ben.
I'm not sending a nude to Ben. Maybe in my underwear. I'll send you one later, Ben.
Please don't.
Me in the mirror with the
good
old face.
Hasn't there been a theory going on that this is just Russia trying to take our faces?
That was actually my headline.
Yeah.
This is the Face app. The company doing this is a Russian company.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's been circulating this morning that Russia is actually spying on us.
See, I didn't do it, but someone did it to my picture, so now I'm mad.
Yeah, somebody did it to me, too, because I tweeted that I wasn't going to do it, and then some guy hit me with it. Damn it.
Also, you have had it done.
Well, somebody did it to me.
How'd you look?
Rough.
I'm an ugly old man.
Rough. Rick Butler looked the worst. Rick looked like an old hippie. Rick looked kind of like Willie Nelson. By the way, happy birthday, Rick. Today's Rick's birthday.
Happy birthday, Rick.
It's also Rick Barnes' birthday.
Yeah. Rick Barnes' birthday.
Who?
Rick Barnes.
I'm not telling him happy birthday, though.
Rich. My bad.
Happy birthday, Rick Butler. Not happy birthday, Rich Barnes. Not even telling the guy happy birthday anymore.
Did you tell him last year happy birthday?
Yeah.
It probably came up in headlines.
I think it did, actually.
I don't think it did.
It sounds familiar.
How old is he?
Old.
I'm going to guess 63. 4.
65 today. Hopefully nobody from overtime is listening and they play their birthday game. We just gave one away.
He's eligible for retirement now. He doesn't even have to take the UCLA job. He can just step down.
Any more headlines?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. So Dwayne Haskins, he hasn't really had a chance to prove himself.
Do we know for sure he's going to be the starter?
No, we don't, but we assume he does. We assume he will be because that was Dan Snyder's guy, and he's from the D.C. area, and they got him because they think he has superstar potential, and he's a hometown guy.
He's probably not the worst one, though.
Also, Alex Smith's leg was destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Smith's gone. It's either going to be him or Case Keenum.
Yeah.
They brought in Case Keenum to compete for that job, so it'll either be Case Keenum or Colt McCoy or Dwayne Haskins. So not a bad guess, but no, not them. He has Dwayne Haskins at 26, rated as a low-end starter slash rookie.
Who's with the Dolphins now? Tannehill?
Nah, no. Tannehill's with the Titans as a backup. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick, or they traded for Josh Rosen. Ding, ding, ding. That's number 32, according to him. Low upside youngster, Josh Rosen. Good job by you.
Makes sense.
31st, Joe Flacco. Wow. Who he's got rated as a backup, who's starting.
How the mighty have fallen.
Number 30, Josh Allen, athlete playing quarterback, he calls it.
Josh Allen at 30?
Josh Allen's not very good at throwing the ball, but he does do things with his legs, which I guess is what got him great as an athlete playing quarterback. Like, Josh Allen didn't go to Wyoming, probably would have talked to him about becoming a wide receiver, right? The way he is so fast and tall and athletic. Maybe start talking about a position change.
Josh Allen is tall and athletic?
Yeah. No, Josh Allen's tall and really fast. I mean, did you not watch him last year? Josh Allen was running all over the place.
I didn't know he was all that athletic.
No, yeah.
I didn't watch him much.
Yeah, Josh Allen is really good at running.
I did not watch a ton of Buffalo games.
But since he went to Wyoming, there was never any discussion about him changing positions. You know, kind of like how Terrell Pryor got there and like, hey, you're a wide receiver, buddy.
Yeah, like if he was in the SEC, it probably would have been different. Or the Big Ten.
Yeah, last year, I mean, he ran for 300, or how many yards did he run for? He ran for 631 yards last year, which is pretty good. And that's a guy who only played in 12 games.
Not bad in the league.
So, if you multiply that out for four more games, he's probably going to be around, what, like 850, somewhere around there, basically?
Probably.
That's a really good rushing yard. That's really good rushing numbers.
So he's the 30th ranked quarterback.
Eight rushing touchdowns, too. Hell, he'd had a really great year.
He might be the answer.
That's where ESPN had Marcus Mariota ranked, 30th.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where this guy has Marcus Mariota ranked?
24th. Where I'd have him.
Seventh.
What?
Seventh. Rated as a, quote, emerging stud.
That seems like a big difference from 30th.
I know. But this is the former ESPN quarterback whisperer saying, Marcus Mariota, number seventh, emerging stud.
That guy called a woman the C word, too.
He did?
Can you really take his, can you really believe what he says? And he's a drunk.
His top five goes all studs, as he calls them. Andrew Luck, number one. Aaron Rodgers, number two. Patrick Mahomes, number three.
Sure.
Matt Ryan, number four.
What? Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, number four.
Ahead of Brady and Mahomes?
No, behind Mahomes. Mahomes, number three.
Oh, you said Mahomes.
Matt Ryan's number four. Cam Newton, number five. Those are the who he considers his studs.
So Russell Wilson and Tom Brady are not in his top five, but Matt Ryan is?
I mean, Tom Brady wasn't a top five quarterback
last
year.
Tom Brady should be number one until he quits winning Super Bowls. I mean, I understand his numbers aren't the best.
I mean,
but
his play wasn't that good. They scored, what did they score last year in the Super Bowl? 13 points?
That guy's a winner.
He is, but I mean, is he still a top five quarterback?
Not stats-wise. Which, if that's just based on stats,
it's not
sure.
It's not based on stats because Marcus Mariota is number seven, and Marcus Mariota's stats aren't anywhere near the top.
I'm just telling you, Tom's got a hell of a big intangible.
What, Bill Belichick?
That's not all about Belichick. That's part of it. But, Tom's just a winner.
Tom's a winner. He is. He wins a lot. I don't think it's crazy to call him. He's rated, if you had told me he's rated eighth on a quarterback ranking, I wouldn't have batted an eye at that, really. Now, granted, when I just told you that Marcus Mariota's number seven, okay.
All I know is going into this season, I'd rather have Tom Brady than any other quarterback in the league. So I don't know how you account
Tom
for
Brady
that
on the Patriots? Because that's always the dilemma with him, right? Like, Tom Brady just getting dropped on your team or Tom Brady surrounded by the Patriots organization?
Tom Brady on my team, if my team is good. Like, if my team's somewhat of a contender already, I'd rather have him. There's nobody I'd rather have on a game-winning drive.
But what about for the other 57 minutes?
Well, I mean, if my team is good, I need to be in contention in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want – I mean, if I'm –
I'm talking about the 57 minutes of Tom Brady outside of the last 3 minutes. Because I don't think anyone can argue with you that he is clutch and, put him on a game-winning drive. And
if he's not
he's
great –
he's probably going to get it done. Even though if D-Ford doesn't line up offsides, then Tom Brady threw his third interception against the Chiefs last year.
That's football.
I mean, I understand, but it was a terrible pass that got bailed out.
If he's not good for 57 minutes but he still wins me the game, sure.
So you grade that 13-3 win in the Super Bowl as a great Tom Brady performance?
It's a Super Bowl.
Because you got the win?
It's a Super Bowl ring.
I'm asking, is it that simple?
It's not Tom's greatest game as a passer, obviously.
Sure.
But he did what he had to do to help win the game. So, and, yes, Belichick's defense.
So you subscribe to the quarterback wins argument?
I do with Tom Brady.
So just when it's convenient?
No, just when I see a guy that's as big of a winner as Tom Brady.
Okay. What about with other quarterbacks?
I think some
quarterbacks
are better.
Do you think Jared Goff was the second best quarterback in the league last year?
No.
And they made it to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's not necessarily what I'm saying. I'm saying some quarterbacks are better at game-winning situations than others.
And right, but do you judge that as when you do your quarterback rankings, is that all you care about is game-winning situations is what I'm asking?
If it's going to mean a win for my team, yes.
So just the last drive. That's how you – whenever you do your rankings – I mean, look, that's how a lot of people do the whole Michael Jordan, LeBron James thing is who do you want to have the last shot?
Michael Jordan.
Despite LeBron James having a better field goal percentage in the last minute of a game – people say Michael Jordan because they remember the Utah shot and they remember the Cleveland shot. Never mind the fact that LeBron has more game
and all the other game, all the other great moments.
I mean, I named most of them.
I mean, just watching him play, though.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's boiled down to as simple as who you want to have the ball.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not as much of a numbers guy as I am the guys that just. Some guys have a presence in their sport.
So who's your number two?
It's a mental thing.
All right,
you know
Tom
what I mean?
Brady's number one. Who's your number two?
My number two.
Yeah. Because I think this is where you're going to get in trouble.
Probably Andrew Luck.
With your philosophy. What's Andrew Luck ever won?
Nothing yet, but he's going to.
I mean, that's where it kind of falls on.
Well,
it falls apart with me. You're talking about a guy who's never even made the Super Bowl, though.
Well, look, I understand. You got to have help in football. Andrew Luck's never really had help. I mean, I think if you plug Andrew Luck in New England, they're winning the Super Bowl this year for sure.
So why is Tom Brady number one if Andrew Luck can do it too?
Because they're both great.
Like, where's the line of like who you don't feel like you could drop in into New England and let Tom Brady win, or let the Patriots win?
Where's the line?
Yeah.
I don't know. Outside maybe number five? I don't know. Somewhere in there. It's hard to say for sure. Football's a team game. It's really hard to say for sure. Mm-hmm. But I do think some guys just kind of stand above the rest. And I think it's not always just things you can point to and numbers you can look at. It's a mental thing. It's an intangible.
No, I agree. And I'm not going straight statistics on this. And look, I don't want to have the same Tom Brady arguments we had last year because it ended up, Patriots won again and I looked like an idiot. But, like, how much of that last fourth quarter do we give Tom Brady credit for, or just Gronk being bigger and stronger than Eric Berry and Eric Berry not being able to stop Gronk? As, like, the ball is just lobbed up in the air, and one guy went up and could get it, and the other one's was not able to and hasn't found a team yet because of it.
He gets credit, too, but some guys just have kind of an aura. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
So, the opposing quarterback going up against Brady mentally might be a little bit psyched out. Like Mahomes, young guy. And everybody that week was talking about Mahomes against Brady. Can the young guy beat the old guy? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a mental thing. Same in basketball. Probably guys that had to play against Jordan. Maybe Jordan wasn't that great one night, but you're still going up against Michael Jordan, and that's going to be subconsciously in your mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, obviously the Chiefs came out and got shut out in the first half, and was it Patrick Mahomes being nervous about going up against Tom Brady, or was it Bill Belichick being the smartest defensive mind in football the last 20 years?
Who knows? But they couldn't come back from it.
No, but they got the lead back.
They came back, but it wasn't enough to, to win the game.
Now, some people would say that if they'd had a chance to get the ball in overtime, they could have matched touchdowns with them, but that's a different argument.
That's the NFL's problem.
Yeah, and that's a different argument for sure. So his top five was Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton. And look, even as a Titans fan, like Mariota at seven seems a little strange. Dak Prescott is number six. Both of those guys are rated as emerging studs. Seems a little odd to me. What? Something happened?
We're not going to be able to have that guy on.
He ghost you?
No, he DM'd me back.
Did he say that he is on the air right now?
He said no.
All he said was no?
He said he can't come on today. He was friendly about it.
Oh, okay. Good job by you. Way to track it down. Great job by you booking the guest. You can do anything.
He said thanks for reaching out.
Did he follow you on Twitter?
He did not.
Next time, Ben, I'll let you reach out. Maybe you can get it done.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I did get Colgate assistant coach the day of the game.
The day of the game, Ben was able to track down Colgate's assistant coach.
I got Albert Hainsworth through an Instagram direct message.
Albert
Hainsworth. through an Instagram
DM. Auburn Hainsworth.
Yeah, and he showed up 2 hours late right at the end of the show.
Hey, take it easy on Big Al.
I'm just saying we'll let Ben do the booking from now on.
I got the NCAA.
Let Ben do the booking. We're never going to have a guest.
I got an NCAA tournament assistant coach on the show.
On game day.
On game day.
On
two hours before the game. That's cool. We're playing at noon.
That's cool. I got the NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
I don't know. Were we playing at noon that day?
Yeah. Because, like, he was like, yeah, I've got time between 10 and 10:30.
Way to go by you, Ben.
I got an NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Just saying. Now, he goes on his own time, sure, but, you know, we got him on the show.
So did Trey for the drive.
I also got SEC Mike. Trey did what? He had Hainsworth on?
Mm-hmm.
You sure? Trey. Yeah.
But you couldn't even get a local TV guy on.
I tried. He said no. It was short notice. Think about all those great times we had SEC Mike on.
I enjoy SEC Mike.
That doesn't really count. He's like your boy.
Yeah. He came on. You got any others besides the Colgate coach? You remember who got that? Did I get on that? Or was it you? You remember that when we played Indiana State and got that guy on?
The play-by-play guy?
Didn't I do that?
I don't know.
I think I did.
I don't know
what the answer is there because that was also just a really weird. I was like, I don't want to talk to this guy.
It was a really weird interview.
So whoever got him is not getting a pat on the back from me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Well, the Klatsky one was kind of weird too because we really didn't know what to ask the Colgate assistant coach about the game.
Like, yeah, also strange.
How do you prepare to actually think you're going to beat Tennessee?
I think we could probably get some pretty cool guests on if we really wanted to. Don't you think? If we like actually reached out.
I don't know.
I'm getting a call right now.
I'd like to get like somebody like Kiffin on. I think we'd have fun with a guy like Kiffin. There's just not that many interesting that I'd care to talk to, you know?
Yet you reached out to a random TV guy and got turned down.
I was interested in the specifics of the beer and how it's going to work. I mean, this guy might know a lot of details. I think it could potentially have been a good interview.
I don't necessarily disagree with the top five he has here. Luck, Rodgers, Mahomes, Ryan, Newton.
Cam
after the hurt shoulder seems a little ambitious, right? It seems ambitious to put Cam at five coming off of an injury. Cam didn't have a good year last year. He was hurt. Now, is he going to be able to get that shoulder back? I don't know. If he is, maybe he can go back to being a top five quarterback. If not, we might see the end of Cam Newton, someone who a big part of his game is running into people. People that, I don't want to say are bigger than him because Cam's really big, but people who are big. He runs into defensive linemen and linebackers.
I worry about Cam.
Me too.
I worry about him having some issues down the road.
But I have zero issue with the top four being Luck, Rodgers, Mahomes, Ryan.
I have issues with Matt Ryan and Cam.
Is Sarkisian still there?
In Atlanta,
Sarkisian's gone, right? Dirk Cutter? That's a guy from Tampa Bay, right? The guy who got hired from Atlanta to go to Tampa Bay and then didn't really succeed at Tampa Bay because of Jameis and other people, and then now they're bringing him back as the OC. So that should be an upgrade for Matt Ryan. That's no Shanahan, but it's an upgrade over Sarkisian.
I think Sarkisian's in the AA league now.
I know Matt Ryan's stats were good last year, but some of those felt like, I don't call them cheap points, but it seemed like they were always either A, getting scored on defense and having to score, or B, some, you know, two-score games where they're scoring at the end to make it a one-score game.
Wikipedia says he's still Alabama's OC.
That's not true, is it?
No, that's not true.
No, he didn't go back to Bama.
No, Sarkisian.
I knew he was. I knew.
I mean, he might have gone back to Bama.
From 2019 to president.
He might have gone back to Bama.
Offensive coordinator.
Well, I know for a fact he was in Atlanta last year.
Yeah, I know that. I don't think he went back to
2019
Bama.
2019 to president, offensive coordinator at Alabama.
I don't think
that's what Ben Lee says.
That's what Wikipedia says.
I think Wikipedia has messed that one up.
No, I mean, the report in January of this year was Steve Sarkisian heading back to Bama.
He's back at Bama.
After turning down the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, okay.
I don't know if it has said that he will be. This is from just 2000 or from January 12th. So obviously we've had some updates since then. But originally it was like we don't know what role he'll be in. So I don't know if he's the OC. Does it specify OC?
It says offensive coordinator.
Saban did have to replace like every coach. On his staff.
All but Butch.
Yeah. Well, every coach. No. Not. You know. assistants, assistant intern, whatever he is.
Analyst.
Didn't even get promoted to a position coach, did he?
No. He had the opportunity to take the tight ends job at Maryland and stayed as an analyst at Alabama.
Yeah, he will coordinate the offense and coach the quarterbacks.
I'm a genius.
Binley beats you at Googling.
I didn't Google
anything. And getting guess.
Oh, well, he just beat you with facts, and you told him he was wrong, and then...
I questioned what he said. I didn't tell him he was wrong.
I'm very good at Googling.
He went to Wikipedia and searched Steve Sarkisian.
You even had the nerve to call Wikipedia wrong.
Wikipedia's been wrong.
The audacity.
It's been wrong. Don't be all high and mighty. You didn't even donate this year.
Touche.
But Rick did, so we have somebody from the station that donates to Wikipedia.
Oh, Rick did?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice to see him pay it forward.
They basically had the same thing we did last year, three or 4 weeks ago.
Good. We'll get back to these quarterback rankings afterwards because I do wonder where the line is, where the Patriots lose if they don't have Tom Brady and someone else. I think we all feel like they win with Luck, Rodgers, Mahomes, and Matt Ryan, right?
Probably not with Matt Ryan.
Hey, Matt Ryan still has to think about 28-3.
That's why Tom Brady's the GOAT.
I think it's more like Bill Belichick would have been smart enough to run the ball instead of having Tom Brady fall back taking sacks. Although, would Tom Brady have taken those sacks? I don't know.
I'm just saying to come back down from down 28-3.
Yeah, I mean, I know, but
that's
I feel like when it's 28-3, it's more about the collapse than it is the comeback.
It's both.
Just run the ball and kick a field goal and you win.
Yeah, they should have.
Julio had that catch on the sideline, I'm sorry, Cam, but game should have been a wrap. I'm sorry for digging this up. Start going through the casket and digging up bones. I'm sorry, but I'm just like.
I'll never forget that year eating at a local establishment here, and there was a diehard Falcons fan there. Mm. Watch, and I was talking to him the whole time, and I was like, yeah, you guys are pretty good this year, man. It was in November, December, mm-hmm. late in the year, and I was telling him, I was like, I think you got a good chance. You guys, this could be the year, Super Bowl, you know? And he just was so disappointed. And this was before that ever happened. He was just used to being disappointed as a Falcons fan. And he's like, something will go wrong. We'll collapse. Something will happen. And I think about him. I wonder if he's still alive. Because he was depressed that day. And I think they had beaten the Packers that day. And he was depressed then. He's like, it's going to go bad. Something will happen.
Turns out he was correct.
Yeah, big time. I wonder about him.
We'll see, though. New coordinator, who was the old coordinator, but he's back. Steve Sarkisian gone. Maybe the Falcons can flourish and Alabama will continue to decline. Falcons, a sneaky Super Bowl pick.
Right.
I think that's my pick to come out of the NFC. Falcons.
Yeah, put $100 on that one.
What kind of odds are you going to give me?
Falcons or nothing. You take the Falcons, I'll take the field.
Okay, and you pay me 10-1? 7-1? 8-1?
Just $100.
No, why would I do that?
I don't know. How confident are you?
You pick a team, and we can do that. You can pick your Bears, and I'll pick the Falcons. We'll see who goes further. We can do that.
Yeah, the Bears will go further.
Okay, we can do that if you want.
Maybe not for 100.
Yeah, I can just put it on the board. We'll figure it out later.
Put it on the board, Ben.
Okay, yeah, just put it on the board, Ben. Bears, Falcons? Yeah, who goes further, right? Just who goes further?
Bears are probably going to be the Super Bowl team out of the NFC this year.
Oh, yeah, with Mitch Trubisky, I'm sure they will be. Yeah.
I mean, your legendary all-time Hall of Fame receiver can't even catch a touchdown pass, so.
I mean, it's not mine. I don't. Root for the Falcons, but
you're a big Falcons guy today.
Name one Bears receiver.
I don't know.
Name one.
They got guys that caught touchdown passes.
Name one Bears receiver.
They got guys that caught touchdown passes.
Julio caught touchdowns last year.
Not many.
Julio had a fine year catching touchdowns. It was 2 years ago he did.
Tariq Cohen had some receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, but he's a running back.
Well, he had receiving touchdowns.
Julio had 8 touchdowns last year.
We're a team. We don't have a lot of guys with the S on the chest.
Just name one receiver.
We don't have guys with an S on the chest.
Name one of them. Just one.
The Bears.
If there was
da
one
Bears.
If it was one wide receiver who was going to have an S on the chest, who would it be?
The Bears play as a team. They always have. That's why they win titles. Well, they've won a couple titles. 85 Bears, they played as a team.
Yeah.
The Fridge, you know.
Willie Gault.
Yeah. Ditka. Good players there. Good coaches.
I'm just, if you're worried about receivers catching touchdowns, I mean, maybe Bears should be a little careful.
Somebody hit me with that face app again.
Okay, go to break. Rough.
For the
hey, Cam, do you have your animal facts ready? Good to go on that? Animal facts? Get those ready for the end of the hour. We'll finish off this rankings. I'm giving you the top seven. Luck, Rodgers, Mahomes, Ryan. I think all four of those, I agree. I think those are the four best quarterbacks in the NFL next year. Cam, I got to see if he's healthy. Dak and Mariota seems too high for me. Now, we'll see with Marcus Mariota, though, because this is it. I go back and forth on whether or not it's even fair to judge him. When you look at the receivers he had last year, losing Delanie Walker game one. That was his best pass catcher. I know he's a tight end, but best pass catcher. The other receivers they were running out, not great. Not even what people would consider good. Fourth offense in 4 years. He's now heading to his fifth offense in 5 years. But he's got pass catchers this year. Corey Davis, former first-round pick, has to take the leap in year three. You have Brown from Ole Miss. They spent a second-round pick on him. Delanie Walker's back healthy. They went out and signed Adam Humphries from Tampa Bay, who should be the perfect slot receiver. The Titans have no more excuses on offense. It's also Mariota's make-or-break year. Either you show that you're elite, you get your $100 million contract, or you show that you have question marks, and then now the Titans are kind of in a crisis mode of what they do. But I don't know how you could have him at seven right now. Then you have the trio of aging Hall of Fame quarterbacks. He puts them all together. Brady, Breeze, Rivers, 8 through 10.
I'm going to be interested to see where Drew Breeze factors in this year with everything. Because I don't think he'll take that big of a step back. I mean, are the Saints still going to be the favorite in the NFC?
I don't know. I don't think they should be.
If he plays like he did at home last year, I mean, he started to struggle on the road toward the end of the year. But
he's kind of struggling at home at the end of the year, too. Like, I mean, that Saints offense, I mean, if you look in the playoff game, obviously they couldn't put that game away. Now, penalty hurt them. Like, yeah. If they call the pass interference properly and they run the clock out and win, then you maybe have a different conversation. They might have gone out to beat that Patriots team.
I think Breeze may – I think he's probably still got one more in him. I think the Saints will be pretty good this year.
But I don't remember them having a great offense against Pittsburgh either in the home finale. Because, I mean, the Titans had to have Pittsburgh lose that game and – it took another crazy pass interference that helped extend the Saints' drive, and it took Juju Smith-Schuster fumbling to win that game. Now, they still scored 31 points, and he threw for 326 yards, but he only had one touchdown. Like, if you go through basically that Thursday night game against the Cowboys, remember they got dominated by – or they didn't even get dominated. They just couldn't score against the Cowboys. It was only a 13-10 game, but they couldn't score against the Cowboys. If you go from that game – the last four games of the regular season, he had three touchdowns, three interceptions.
Yeah, that Dallas game was the first time they really got exposed.
127 yards, 201 yards, 203 yards, 326 yards. So let's just call that a 220-yard average, basically. 220 yards, three touchdowns, three interceptions. Not great.
No, not really great like Breeze. Maybe he was hurt. Or banged up, or he had some kind of...
I haven't seen any reports about any surgeries to clean anything up this year.
It's just weird that Breeze would go from, you know, tossing around five touchdown passes a game to just being not good, though.
But I think that's how it happens when you get old, man. I think it just all of a sudden happens.
Like, just snap of the fingers?
I mean, you don't remember how quickly Peyton was done? Like,
Yeah.
When it came time for Peyton to be done, he was just done.
Yeah, he was.
They also have a better running game now.
I mean, they had that running game all of last year, though, and you would think the running game would help. I mean, again, like, it's not like, you know, those last four games that gave you those numbers. Here, I mean, the points they scored, 13. They scored 28, I believe, with the last second touchdown to get, you know, a two-touchdown win, if I'm not mistaken. 12 points against the Panthers, 31 against the Steelers. So two of the four games you scored at least 28 points. The other two you scored 13 and 12.
Well, the Cowboys, Panthers, and Steelers were all at least decent, you know, in playoff contention.
The Panthers weren't.
But they,
I believe they were already done at that point.
Well, they were in. I mean, they were a decent team, though. They were in contention up until late in the season.
The Cowboys, yes. The Bucks, no. The Panthers were, I believe, on their last legs. They would have had to run out and get a bunch of help. So I would say they weren't really in contention, but their defense was still good. And Pittsburgh, yeah, was do or die mode.
To me, the Bucks are the only team there that just wasn't a good team, though.
And when you get to the playoffs, Eagles. You remember that game? It was 20-14 and. Mm-hmm. Two touchdowns, one interception, 300 yards. Not a terrible game. I mean, a good game, you would say.
They murdered the Eagles earlier in the year.
Yeah, and you thought they were just going to come out and do it to them again. And they didn't. The Eagles' defense is all of a sudden playing really good, and all of a sudden Breeze didn't look superhuman, and they're in the dome, and you think they should be rocking, and they had to eke out that win. And who knows if Alshon Jeffrey doesn't drop the ball that leads to an interception, maybe they lose that game.
My hope is that Breeze was just a little bit banged up. Maybe there was something, you know, a minor injury we didn't know about. And he comes back from it.
Now,
that's
granted,
my hope.
The Eagles fit your narrative of better teams, better defenses, right? I mean, good defenses, big games, obviously. And the Rams, you know, two interceptions, one touchdown, 249 yards, scored 23 points, lost. But again, if they call the pass interference properly, maybe we have a different conversation. I'm just worried about Breeze as he goes to another year after what I saw at the end of last year.
I mean, I don't really care one way or another what the Saints do, but I do like watching Breeze play. I kind of hope he's not done yet.
Oh, I do too, and I hope he's not either, because when you start going through this quarterback list, I mean, we're waiting for these next stars, and I think we have one with Mahomes, and you know, this time last year, you weren't sure if Andrew Luck was ever going to throw the ball again, like in an NFL game. Like you thought he would, but you didn't know if he would do it properly. Like if he would be good doing it. Like there was real questions about his health. So I do think with Mahomes and Luck, you have the two quarterbacks that can kind of bridge this gap. And Rodgers still has some left in the tank. Matt Ryan, I think, still has left in the tank. But, I mean, if you're down to 6-7 and calling Mariota and Dak your emerging studs, like, oof.
Not great for the league.
No, I mean, Russell Wilson, he's got 11. High-end starter and right role. I think Russell Wilson fits that team good. I think he's a good quarterback.
Still waiting for...
Lamar Jackson at number 12 seems kind of ludicrous, but...
Oh, my God. Really?
That's what he has. High-end youngster, Lamar Jackson, number 12.
Man. Still waiting for Luck to take over the league like we always thought he would.
Deshaun Watson, 13. Carson Wentz, 14. Jared Goff, 15. Baker Mayfield, 16. So you have
Jared Goff.
A fivesome. Couldn't think of it. Quartet's four. What's five? A quintet. A quintet. You have a quintet of young guys who might be willing to take that next step.
Jared Goff's way down at 15.
Yeah.
After the way he finished the year. How are you going to put Lamar Jackson ahead of Deshaun Watson?
I don't know.
Or Jared Goff, for that matter.
I mean, Lamar Jackson didn't have great pass catchers last year, and they didn't really ask him to pass, but I still don't know how you take that and say, yeah, I'm sure he can do it. You know what I mean? Like, especially after the playoff game where he looked awful.
I feel like Deshaun should be probably borderline top 10 there.
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, I guess at 13, though, that is kind of borderline top 10.
But he should be ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And probably ahead of Mariota and Dak.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy's list is kind of trash.
I don't know.
You think he was drunk when he came up with it? Or?
Nah, I mean, he watches a lot and he prides himself on kind of looking at it from a different lens. And like I said, ESPN was ready to make him their quarterback guru, so.
I'd call that list the C word.
We'll get to Cam's animal fact next hour. Maybe talk some college football. Headlines. Obviously, I overrated and underrated, too. Ugh, going to be a jam-packed hour. It always happens to me. I always forget. Just end up throwing everything at the wall in the third hour. But stick with us to talk sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.